Well, it's good to see all of you on a Monday. I know that all of you are gainfully employed, and I know that those taskmasters back at work expect you to be back at a reasonable time, so I'll try to observe and honor that. For a little while, I want to talk about why I believe in God. I wanted to make this series of times, these 4 days, as positive as I could from a lot of standpoints. We're hearing an awful lot of bashing that goes on in our world today. Bashing of God and bashing of Christ and bashing of the church and the Bible. And I wanted to be able to spend a little bit of time talking about some of those basic fundamental reasons for belief. Now, belief matters. It matters whether or not we believe. And the fact is, all of us believe something. We need to have a reason for what we believe and to know why we believe what we believe. And as you think about your life and as you think about what God has done for you, there might be many reasons that you have that are subjective. How God has blessed you, how God has been with you, and how He's helped you. But I want to do some things that I think will be very helpful in your being able to express why you believe to someone else. Maybe some simple things. When I was in Russia a number of years ago, I lectured before people who, many of the educated ones, had had as many as 2 years of atheism. In order to get a college degree before the wall fell, you had to have at least 2 courses or 2 years of atheism before you could get a degree from college. And many of these folks had been taught a lot of the ways to answer this and answer that. But you know, there are some fundamental things that just keep on coming back out, that just keep on coming through. And in spite of 70 years of the dominance of atheism in this communist country, many of the people were so hungry for God, they hardly thought about anything else. I will never forget going into one of the schools. This was a school, and those schools in that particular area went from kindergarten through the 11th grade. The 11th grade was their highest year in school. They graduated at that point. And I was talking with this very lovely lady. She had been the principal of that school, and now her job was to be the greeter of the school. And we had brought Bibles to give, New Testaments to give to every student in the school. Well, New Testaments were pretty hard to come by and very expensive in those days for them. And we had brought them so that they could each one have one. And as was a custom, when you met the greeter at the door, you also, in a formal way, presented one to her. This dear lady was an older lady. She had gray hair, white hair, that she had colored very red. And when she saw that Nova Soviet, that New Testament that I had to bring to her, I will never forget her reaction. I will never forget this dear, sweet old lady and the light that came into her eyes, the smile that came onto her face, and the tears that came into her eyes. And I will never forget her kissing my hand again and again for bringing her a Bible. You have to understand that there is a hunger within the heart of every one of us for God. It was Augustine who had gone into this religion and that religion and others through the years that whenever he found God, wrote the book, the tremendous classic, The City of God. And in the beginning, on the very first page of that book, he makes an argument that I think is so powerful. And that is, he says that in each one of us there is a hole. And that hole cannot be filled by anything but God. Now, there are a lot of people who don't realize they have that hole in their souls. They don't realize that what's missing in their lives is a relationship with God, the one who created them, the one who made them, the one who's walked beside them every step of their lives and who loves them. But that's why I believe in God. Because first of all, I believe in God as a person. A person who knows and who loves me. Not some force out there, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi could tell Luke Skywalker, just trust your feelings. I don't believe in trusting my feelings. I believe in trusting in that person who created this whole world. Oh yes, he'll touch our hearts. But he is a person and not a thing. He is a person and not a force. And our hearts long for a relationship with a person, the person who made us. Now, there are a lot of different things that we can do. Take a look at your hand. Ever thought about your hand? Do you know that 1/4 of all the bones in your body are in your hands? And 1/2 of the bones in your body are in your hands and your feet. But your hands are a little more accessible than your feet and probably look a little better. I don't know, you know. But you think about that. You've got all 5 digits there. Each of them you can kind of control a little bit separately. You're amazed how you can turn that hand either way you want to do it. You can grasp something. You can write, and you have a signature and a handwriting and all of those things. Have you ever thought about that particular thing on the end of your hand and why it's there? Have you ever thought about the design that's in that hand and what it can do? You ever thought about why you have 2 ears instead of 1? Ever thought about why you have 2 nostrils instead of just 1 nostril? You ever thought about why you have 2 eyes instead of just 1 eye? And of course, with 2 eyes, the ability to focus and to measure distance is much better. You ever thought about why the eyebrow above the eye? And why there's this hair right there and why there's a ridge? You appreciate that when it rains. God was thinking when He made us. And you and I have been designed. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says that every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And God made you. And he made you in his own likeness. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything that we see. There isn't anything around us that God didn't make. I think of Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Or Romans 1 and verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Oh yes, Hebrews 11 is correct. It's by faith that we understand. It's by faith that we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God made them. But when you begin to think about how did this earth come to be, how did we come to be, how did everything come to be, there are only 2 options, and 1 option is the one that the world will tell you, and that is that it happened by accident, by chance. That somewhere in a primordial sea, there were some chemicals floating around in the water and they happened to join together and to make a 1-celled organism that developed into a multi-celled organism that developed into something even bigger than that. And after a while you began to have things like jellyfish, and after a while you began to have a spine, and you have a fish with a spine all of a sudden. Makes you wonder how all these changes took place. And then the fish gave rise to the birds and to the reptiles and the one thing to the... You know, it takes an awful lot of faith to believe all that. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I know that changing from a cold-blooded animal to a warm-blooded animal is not a simple thing. It's not an easy thing. That there have to be many, many chemical changes that take place in order for that to happen. And I just wonder how you, as a warm-blooded creature, could have come from a cold-blooded animal. And how did you, as a spined creature, that vertebrae running up and down your back, ever come from something that had no vertebrae? You see, there are more and more questions. And the fact is that we have been designed in a wonderful, amazing way. And it just seems to me that as you look through the world and as you look at human beings and as you look at what God has made, that the intelligence of God's design is very clear. Someone has said, if there is order and arrangement, then there is design. There is order and arrangement, and therefore there is design. If there is a design, then there is a designer. That's an argument for God. Now, a number of years ago, my lovely wife bought me this wonderful watch. And I have worn it almost every day since she bought it, except whenever I went on trips where I didn't need it or want a nice watch. And I love this watch, but you know, I can look at it and it'll tell me the time sequence with seconds and minutes and hours. It'll tell me what day of the week it is and what day of the month it is. I'd be mighty foolish to think that this watch just happened, that somebody just gathered a bunch of stuff and threw it together and shook it in a can and all of a sudden that watch came out. Wouldn't I be mighty foolish? Why, of course I would. Things don't happen by accident. But let me tell you something. This watch, even as sophisticated as it is very simple compared to just one cell of your body. Very simple compared to just one cell of your body. Psalm 139 verse 4 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Your body has 100 trillion cells. 3 billion of those cells die and are replaced each minute. You didn't know you were that busy, did you? Your brain continuously receives and sends signals far more sophisticated than the very best of computers. Your eyes has 130,000 light receptors. Your ears have 100,000 hearing receptors that can distinguish between 2,500 different tones. You're able to taste, and there are 3,000 different receptors in your mouth, and I suppose you've used every one of them in this meal. There are 30,000 receptors for heat and 250,000 receptors for cold in your skin. There are 500,000 receptors that measure the pressure of touch. I remember a number of years ago, I tried to cut this finger off in an accident and I was working in a glass blowing plant. Jackie says I'm still full of hot air. Never mind. Anyway, I cut my finger, and this section of my finger, that right index finger, is still unable to feel. But whenever I first did that, I could get a very hot cup of coffee, and I could put my finger against that hot cup of coffee and not feel the heat. Or I could take a glass of iced tea and put my finger against that glass of iced tea and could not feel the cold. You know, you never think about what you miss. But God gave you all of those heat and cold and pain sensors in your body to protect you and to bless you. Now you think about putting 500,000 things on anybody. And that's a bunch. God is no fool. He's intelligent. I think about the fact that we have pain sensors. We have 4 million of those. We have 10 billion nerve cells, 100 billion brain cells that store memory. The human eye is the most perfect camera ever known to man. You think about it, it automatically adjusts to light and to distance. It focuses instantly. 2 eyes on a horizontal plane are able to measure distance, as we mentioned before. And it's able to distinguish as many as 1 million different colors. It can increase its ability to see 100,000 times when it needs to. The eyes have brows and lashes and tears and a nose for protection. Unlike any other creature, the human can speak and understand 3,000 languages throughout the world and millions of words. Your heart beats an average of 72 times per minute. And each year it pumps 5 quarts of blood through 60,000 miles of veins and arteries. That's a total of 600,000 gallons every year or every minute. I don't know how that is. Each year, excuse me. I think about if you cut yourself. If you cut yourself, do you know your blood has an automatic clotting factor in it? You can clot. You have a well-engineered skeletal system of 206 bones. You have a rugged yet sophisticated digestive system. Sometimes you're glad you have one that will digest at times, and even when the food's not so good, but the food's great today. You have a rugged, wonderful sense of taste and smell. And I'll tell you what, oh my, when you come home and mama or your wife has fixed a wonderful dinner and you smell it as you walk through the door, aren't you thankful to God for what He gave to you? I think about the hormone system and the glandular system that you have, the marvelous muscles, the connective tissue. All of those things are part of what God made in you. Your lungs filter the warm oxygen, and it places the blood in there with that oxygen, and it takes away the carbon dioxide. Your lungs are a marvelous thing, and even whenever sometimes you've abused your lungs, they can renew themselves in many cases. You have a situation where you have a waste disposal system. That's why you sweat and why you go to the bathroom, because God keeps you healthy. You have the ability to take in oxygen. And whenever the lungs put that oxygen in the blood, it goes to every cell throughout your body. You have a white cell defense system to fight disease. Your body can restore itself and heal itself, and it does many, many times in your lifetime. Your 2.5-pound brain is the most complicated, listen to me, is the most physically complicated structure known to the universe, and every cell is connected to every other cell in your brain. It is the most complicated structure in the universe, the human brain. God's no fool, and the brain that you have inside that head, regardless of what other people may say about you, is still something that is a marvel, a marvel. You gonna tell me that that happened by accident? God made a pattern for everything. And inside every cell of your body is a molecule, a DNA molecule, that holds enough information to fill 100 encyclopedias. God knows what He's done by making you. He knows what you are. In the time we have remaining, I want to talk about two other aspects of it. Have you ever thought about your ability to think? Your ability to reason? The fact that you're not only conscious, but also self-conscious. Ah, you remember that the Bible makes it very clear in the book of Genesis, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. And in the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Now, I can see how maybe something could happen to create some creature. But how is it that a female was created at the same time a male was, and something new came along? Have you ever thought about that? It's not just the creation of the male. You have to have also the creation of a female, and they have to be able to have enough genetic similarity to reproduce anything else. I don't believe in accident. Even Charles Darwin did not believe in accident. He didn't. What he believed in was creation of specific things, and perhaps one, he said. But he believed that we came from God. A lot of people don't know that. But if you read the last page of Charles Darwin's Origin of Species, you'll find that he makes mention of the Creator. What has happened over the last century is that a bunch of men have taken the thoughts and the theories that Darwin had and began to take it and put it into a situation where they've dreamed up some kind of thing that could have happened. The only way you can really believe all these things could have happened is if you remove God from your thinking. But I will tell you this, it takes far more faith to believe in all of those events of evolution that nobody's ever seen, that nobody's ever proved, that nobody knows for sure. It takes far more faith to believe in that than it does to believe in the one true and living God. Now, you're conscious of God. Who made you conscious? You were made in the image of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 9 that God is the Father of our spirits. Who put that spirit in you? Who created spirits? that could think and reason and feel and love and do good and hope and have all of the things that are inside of us? God did. One more aspect, and that is the matter of morals. The matter of morals. Who made you a moral being? Why is it inside of you is this capacity to approve in yourself the right and to hate in yourself the wrong? Now, every one of you, as you were growing up, when you did good things, you said, now that was a good thing. And when you did bad things, your conscience hurt you. It doesn't make any difference where you grew up, when you grew up. Every person in every land throughout the entire world has had a conscience and has had some kind of moral sense about him. Where did that moral sense come from? In the book of Romans, chapter 2, and verse 14, it says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. And they show the work of the law is written on their hearts." Well, who wrote it there? God did. "While their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." This moral sense within us demands that there has to be a moral governor. Someone who put that sense of right and wrong inside of us. Someone who has given us these boundaries and we know that we don't cross them. And no matter who you have known in your lifetime, and no matter what their situation is, everybody has had boundaries that were made by their hearts that they would not cross. That moral government came from a moral person, just like your consciousness had to come from a person. That's God. That's God. When we began to look at life, there was a man named René Pascal, a French philosopher, a few centuries ago. And he proposed what is called Pascal's wager, the wager. And the wager assumes that logical reasoning by itself cannot decide for or against the existence of God. He says there seem to be good reasons on both sides. But now, since reason cannot decide for sure, and since the question of such importance is such importance that we must decide somehow, then we must wager if we cannot prove. And so we're asked, where are you going to place your bet? If you place it with God, then you lose nothing. Even if it turns out that there is no God. But if you place it against God and you're wrong and God does exist, then you lose everything. God, eternity, heaven, the gain of all the joy that God has for us. And when we begin to assess the two cases, if you believe in God and you're right, and if you win everything. But if you lose everything. There are three kinds of people. Those who've sought God and found Him, they're reasonable and happy. Those who are seeking God but haven't found Him, and these folks are reasonable, but there's still a hole in their hearts. And then there are those who've not found God at all. And they're the ones who are both unreasonable and unhappy. Let's seek God. You know what? The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And you know what? Every person since the history of the world who sought after God, who really wanted to know, was able to find out. There is a God. And He's the God of the Bible, the Father of Jesus Christ. And He is the one who gave us the church. And I'll talk more about those things in the coming days.